That is Blur, that is Full State. Good afternoon, welcome to 1 to 3 with Mike. 25th of September, and that's been a day on many people's calendar for a while because today is a national fire service strike right across the country. I'm joined in the studio by Nick Macy, just walked off the picket line himself. Good afternoon, Nick. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Mick.
Let's start at the very beginning. I've just been down to Brentwood Fire Station, and incidentally, I'm well aware that you yourself just had a fire call before midday, so you've been and covered that.
Yeah.
But your colleagues who were there who didn't go out on that fire call that you went on started strike action at 12 o'clock. First of all, Nick, why are you on strike today?
Okay, well, this is a national strike, Mick, and there's been long negotiations with the government following their decision to, first of all, put the contributions for our pension up 2%. 2%, that I may add, is not going to be used in the pensions. It will be used to pay off the bankers' crisis and the debt that this country's got ourselves into over that. And secondly is the fact that they are now putting proposals forward that firefighters stay on till 60 and beyond. We've tried to negotiate, despite all the evidence, even their own evidence, that says that's not possible. We're facing a situation now where firefighters getting to that point who won't be able to pass increasingly difficult fitness tests will just be sacked under competency. Now, we have a body of very professional men and women that have signed into a pension scheme that would release them at 55 because they knew they wouldn't be able to carry on beyond that. And the government has just decided to change it. And despite their evidence that it's not sustainable, they've not listened. They've broken away from negotiation and we've been left with no choice now but to take a national strike action.
Have you exhausted every avenue? Because strike action is obviously the last resort. Have you, well, most media commentators are saying that you have exhausted those,
yeah,
those avenues and that the powers that be are not negotiating with you. Is that true?
That's true. I mean, there is an element as well that we are criticised that the voice of the FBU tends to be the militant hard line. And it just simply isn't true. And when the government are faced with the news that 80%, it was 78% of firefighters, they're not all militants, Mick. They've all voted to go on strike. And I think it's going to have to come to this action before the government realise, yeah, firefighters across the nation are angry and disappointed with this. And it's about protecting our standard of service as well. It's not just about protecting our own interests in the pensions we'll be getting, which we've been accused of. It's about protecting the interests of the public that don't expect firefighters that are too old to perform the function turning up to their fires.
Right, we're not talking about all firefighters here because, I mean, you, and let's put this nicely, you are an older firefighter. The contract you signed, you personally are safe.
I am, yes.
But younger fighters who are joining, a firefighter joining tomorrow will be on a completely different pension contract to you.
That's right.
Who are you trying to protect, the people in the middle?
We're trying to protect the standard of our fire service. We've taken strike action on many occasions, and only apart from 2003 were they about pay. They've always been, especially in Essex, about the standard of service we provide. Now, even though it won't necessarily affect me, that doesn't mean to say I wash my hands of it. It doesn't mean to say I walk away and say I'm prepared to tolerate a fire service in the future that has people that are being sacked through competency or people that are just about able to perform their function as a firefighter. And I want to protect the job for future entrants after I've left.
Do you think, though, there was a danger, and I'm talking about many years ago, Theresa Gorman, a former Tory MP, once said, firefighters retire early and they go and live in Spain. I mean, was she right? Was it too easy then? Did these some of these proposals have to come in eventually? Otherwise, it just would collapse.
I think, history will show that Theresa Gorman's kind of statement and judgment have been flawed in the past. But I think the fact is that you can't continue to say that the fire service pension was unworkable and think that people believe it. The fire service pension is not in trouble. The fire service pension is completely workable. There's been many changes to it, and firefighters work longer than they used to years ago. Now, if the firefighters' pension was financially not sustainable, then the 2% rise, or any future rise that they plan to make, would be used to pay that pension pot, but it's not. It's going to be used for other reasons. So that action in itself proves that the fire service pension isn't in the financial trouble they say it is.
Critics are saying that the fire service pension compared to others is generous. You don't contribute as much money as others. You retire earlier than others and get much more than others. What would you say to that?
We do. Unfortunately, again, that's a spurious comment because we do pay one of the highest rates. And again, like I said, to the 2%, it's going up again. We have to retire early for the reasons that I've given you. And unfortunately, and this sounds rather sort of a cruel thing to say, we can only protect those people within the Fire Brigades Union. If other public bodies have pensions that are poor and that are being eroded by the government, then they too should be taking action. But we've sat back too long as public service employees and said, other people have it worse, let's just accept it. We cannot accept it. We need to go back into negotiation. We never take strike action lightly. And we're hoping now that the government and the pressure from people that agree with us, and there are many people that are, many members of the public do as well, bring us forward into negotiations and get a better deal.
If you want to get in touch with the programme, by the way, you can Twitter us at Phoenix FM or the Mike A. Jones, and I'll read your comments out on air. Nick, what about, let's just take me for example. Let's pretend, I'm not going to pretend, I'm 55 years old.
Yeah.
I feel fairly fit, but I know my left knee is just rubbish really, and I'm fairly soon I'm going to have a knee op. If I was in the fire service now, I couldn't perform my duties. What would you do with me as a management?
At the moment, under the system that we wish to keep, you would be medically retired. It's quite a long process. It's not a very, very quick decision. We have all sorts of things in place that would help you recuperate. But if you were unable to perform that function and you were part of the pension scheme, then you would be pensioned off. Now, in the future, what they're proposing is that you can be sacked under competency or capability. You're not capable of performing that function. So you could have done, Mick, 35 years in the fire service, mm-hmm. and find that you're not getting your pension, you're being thrown out of the fire service, and your pension is being frozen till 65, or under government proposals, 68. You've performed 35 years of valuable service to the public of Essex, mm-hmm. and that's just not a reasonable thing to do to our public servants.
Okay, we'll talk some more in a moment. Just take a quick break.
Are we finished yet?
Just another 10 shops. Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Yeah, indeed, it is quarter past one with Mike 123. I've got Nick Mace from the FBU in the studio today. We're talking about today's strike. Let's just talk about, because there's a little bit of misinformation coming through. We just heard on the news that you won't go out to cats on trees and nonsense like that. So what are you actually attending, if anything?
Okay, the fire service nationally are on strike. Let's make that very clear. But obviously the various counties and the Metropolitan Brigades have had to put a resilience in place, which means a standby fire service to cover the calls that we won't attend. Now, the remark that was made, they won't be attending cats up trees, animal rescues and flooding, is for that resilience. It's not, we're not just out on strike today and not attending cats up trees. We're not attending anything. It's the resilience that won't be attending the more trivial jobs because obviously their workload would be increased because it's a far reduced service that's being provided by the resilience cover.
There has been call for volunteers to come in and man fire engines. I mean, you must look upon that with horror.
Yes, it's problematical. I mean, it's problematical for the management because you've got a huge health and safety risk there if you're just going to let people crew fire engines with no training or no experience. I don't believe that's happening in Essex. I believe that they've put a resilience force in place that contains firefighters that aren't on strike. But it would be a foolish thing to do for any brigade, especially in Met like London or Manchester.
Just looking, you must be quite disappointed as well with the media coverage of this because just one national broadsheet I saw today, page 10 this story was on today, and whereas before that would have been sort of front page. Is there a danger, do you think, that the FBU over the years, that the now in the public's eye, that you looked at as car workers were in the 70s? You always seem to be taking some
militant and taking action. Yeah. Well, there is an element of that, and there's an element of that within the right-wing press, but I don't see any of that in the members of the public that we serve. And we stand on the picket lines and we're constantly being bid by motorists that go by, and people come up to us and say that, you know, they respect the job we do. The press interest, you know, you say it's unfortunate, but the actual negotiation, the end to this dispute, won't be fought out in the press as much as they'd like it to be in certain papers. It will be put out in the around the negotiating table. So I think the press thing is, you know, it has its relevance, but at the moment what we need to do is to get this dispute to an end.
Well, absolutely. And Brandon Lewis, the Fire Minister, his stand on it at the moment, he's saying that current schemes are not sustainable, that the changes are still generous. This is what you're
well,
disputing.
Well, you know, that's interesting, isn't it? Because these are also the people that made a claim in the paper, I think it was about 2 weeks before the strike took off, that said that the protections that they're offering at the moment, they didn't believe that strike action was necessary. And if we went on strike, they would remove the protections. Now, either those protections are sustainable or not, you can't just remove them out of spite or because we've upset them by taking industrial action. So I wouldn't place too much store in claims that it is not sustainable.
Obviously, today's you're trying to minimise the risk to the public by going out for 4 hours. Yeah. So it's really just to make the public aware of what's going on with the fire service pension. What happens next? How are you going to do, if escalate is the right word, which isn't the right word, but you need to get this sorted?
Okay, we don't make plans for the worst case scenario. I think we hope that this today's strike will be the last strike. Now, if it isn't, that will be the call of national officials. We're hoping that this will be enough for the government to reconsider and their negotiators to reconsider the way that the negotiations have been held so far and what they're prepared to offer us, and that hopefully this will be the last strike day.
It's also a difficult situation as well, is that the whole makeup of fire service, let's just take Essex as a whole, several years ago you had 900 plus whole-time firefighters.
That's right.
Yeah. You're down to, I've no idea, probably 700, something like that.
Yes, now, it's around that, the ridership level, yeah.
Because and Essex isn't alone, none of the brigades are recruiting at the moment, you're all bringing your numbers down, and you are now doing overtime, you're now doing, you can come in on days off and work, all different sorts of practices which would have been taboo for over the years. So is it true then that the pension scheme has to change, because if there are 900 firefighters contributing 10 years ago and there's only 700 contributing now, there's not enough, the pension fund will gradually diminish and there will not be enough money to pay those existing firefighters who have retired?
Well, actually, there's two arguments that run in tandem. In all of the negotiations around the country, in London and in Essex, the fire service has fought those as well. We can't accept one set of circumstances and then say it diminishes our argument in everything else. You may be right, that contribution may need to go up. If they do, then they need to be put into the pension fund and not to pay off the banker's crisis. But we fought those cuts and still fight them now. We don't want to see a reduction of firefighters in Essex or anywhere else in the country. So we continue to fight on all of those issues.
I mean, your own station at Brentwood was a whole-time station.
It was,
You're now a joint station for
those.
Right. Can you just explain what exactly Brentwood Fire Station is now?
Okay, we used to be two primary crewed machines, which means we had watch strengths of 12, and then it was brought down to watch strengths of 8, and then the pump, the water tender, is taken out by a retained crew. And we fought that on principle. That's gone through now. We engage in that process. We would rather see those firefighters with full-time jobs, but at the moment we engage with that process. So we're not, dinosaurs in the way that we approach things. We will object to things and fight them on their merits. But if they're put in place, we will do our very best to make sure that they work operationally for the people of Essex.
And is that what's happened at Brentwood and happened at Canby? Do you think that's going to happen, that's in danger of happening right across the county? And not just Essex, I'm talking nationally.
Yeah, it could do. I mean, one of the problems, and it was a problem with Brentwood, is the demographics, the type of people, and whether they're able to perform functions like that and just leave their workplace and go and work at a retained station is a problem. You can't, for example, they don't run retained stations at all in London.
Well, Chris Coleman wants that to happen. He thinks they could. Matt Rack thinks that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, unfortunately, the politicians that make comments on about the fire service have got quite little experience of it. So, it could happen. It could happen in the rest of Essex, but it's not an easy transformation. There was a lot of work needed to take place to make it happen at Brentwood. And it's an ongoing thing. The dynamics of it are always changing. So, if you don't get the staff to crew those machines, they go off the run.
What about how does the fire brigade pension compare with, say, the army or the police? Are they? What happens to them when they get to 60?
Well, there's the argument with the police. I can't comment actually on the army. I'm not so aware of that. But the police, our sort of detractors have said, well, look, you know, the police have accepted that they would move into non-operational roles, less physically demanding roles. But the police service is a very highly administrative service as well. They, you know, those roles exist. They don't necessarily, in fact, they don't exist within the fire service, certainly not on a national level. There won't be the jobs.
What are you saying? Basically, there are not enough desk jobs to go around for everything. No.
There aren't. There aren't now, you know, and the cuts in the fire service aren't limited to operational staff only. They're cutting the back room as well. So if you've got less money available to employ people, you're unlikely to find jobs for them in administrative work.
Where do we go from here, Nick?
Like I said, Mick, hopefully this is the last strike day. And that over the next week, the national officials, it won't be something that I get involved in, but it'll be something the national officials get involved in and get back into negotiations with the government and point to today's action and say how solid it's been and how vehemently the firefighters of this country support what the FBU are saying. And we'll get round the table and we'll come up with a better plan.
Worst case scenario, your claims are ignored, you take strike action, you get further strike action, you end up going all-out strike, if firefighters are prepared to do that. I mean, let's just touch on the fact that no firefighter surely takes strike action lightly.
Never, no.
It's a very heart-wrenching decision. Can you see that happening? Do you think it would escalate to the all-out strike nationally?
Well, one of the things that we do, we're very democratic in the Fire Brigades Union, and if we believed that on a national basis, that every rank and file member believed that that was necessary, then our national officials would be told of that, and that's what would happen. Hopefully, no. I don't ever want to be in a position where things have got so bad around the negotiating table that we leave work and don't come back until things have improved. But the national officials that call the action will listen to the rank and file, and there'll be feedback from today about how it was taken by the members and how it affected fire calls and so on, and they'll take action based on that information.
One thing I just finally wanted to touch on was your ballot. I mean, again, going back years, membership of the FBU was compulsory, but it isn't anymore. You don't have to be a union member at all of any union.
No.
How many fire service unions are there these days? There's just still two or three? Or?
But the main one in the country by far is the Fire Brigades Union. There is a smaller one called the Retained Firefighters Union, but it's on a much smaller scale.
And there used to be an officers' one. Is there no officers' one?
Yeah, I mean, there are officers' organisations, but they tend to be, they've got things written into their constitution, they don't take strike action and so on. We're the only sort of traditional union still remaining for the fire brigade, but it is, the membership is huge as a percentage.
But one criticism levelled at the FBU was that the vote, yes, was 80% or 78% in favour of strike action, but only, if you take that into account of all the firefighters in the country, it actually only equated to 46% actually voted for strike action this time.
It's strange, isn't it? Because I think someone like David Cameron would be absolutely over the moon if the turnout at a general election was similar. So it seems that they allow things like that to take place on a national level and call it democracy, but when it takes place within a unit, they call it militant socialism.
Absolutely. Nick, well, thank you very much for coming in today. I think we've covered all the topics. Can I ask you if you can come back, hopefully, to talk about fact that it's been resolved?
Yep.
Or, unfortunately, if it's not resolved, then where are we going from here?
Yep, absolutely.
Nick Mace, thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.